When we leave here today and you go out and your car doesn't start, you may ask me to help you. And you know, I really, 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 really would like to help you. But I can't. Because I don't know anything about cars. I'm not a mechanic. I would not know where to look. Maybe a check to make sure the battery's hooked up. Make sure you got some gas. But besides that, I can't help you. I don't know anything about automobiles. My desire to help you without a knowledge of how to help you is just no good. Well, in the same way, to desire to do God's will without a knowledge of God's will, that's not enough. You have to know God's will in order to do God's will. It's like me trying to fix your car. I really want to help you, but I can't because I don't know. I don't know what to do. Well, you may really want to do God's will, but if you don't know what God's will is, you can't do it. Well, the first question of the catechism is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Now, notice the logic here of the Westminster Divines as they go through this. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Second question. What rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? And the answer is the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify God and enjoy Him. Question number three. What do the Scriptures principally teach? And the answer is, the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe about God and what duty God requires of us. In other words, we believe that the Bible is the full revelation of God's will for us. It's not dreams. It's not visions. It's not having a hunch about something. It's not how you feel. It's not intuition. It's not speaking in tongues. It's not calling the psychic hotline to see what Madam whoever it is has read the stars for you. No. God's will is contained in the Bible. Just as you would build a house with a blueprint, the Bible is the blueprint of God's will for your life. The Bible contains what we are to understand about the character of God, the plan of salvation, how we are to live our life, and how we are to treat one another. Paul, writing to a young Timothy, says, "The Scriptures are able to make one wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God and the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." If it's not contained in the Bible, it's not necessary for your salvation. It's not necessary for your relationship to God and to one another. The Bible is not a science book. It doesn't teach us how to do chemistry. It doesn't teach us how to do biology. I remember one time somebody asked me, "What about the dinosaurs?" I said, "Well, the Bible mentions dinosaurs right there when it says God created all things." But that's all the Bible says about the dinosaurs. And you know why Moses didn't say anything else about the dinosaurs? Because it wasn't Moses' intent to write about the dinosaurs. He's writing about what God has done. What God has done. So it's not a biology book. It's not a chemistry book. It's not a medical book that instructs you how to do brain surgery. The Bible doesn't tell you what kind of job you will be doing when you grow up. The Bible doesn't tell you who to marry. Now, the Bible talks about the character of people. You look for the good character in a wife or good character in a husband. But the Bible doesn't say, well, you need to marry Bill or don't marry Mary. No, the Bible doesn't say that. But what you do find in the scriptures is God's revelation about himself, his character, what he has done. And another thing you find in the Bible is information about your character. You find information about yourself in the Bible. Your condition, your problems, your needs, and what God commands you to do. And what God speaks to one, he speaks to all. There's no hidden secret messages in the Bible that only super spiritual people can understand. What God reveals about himself is the same to you and to me. It's the same for people who lived centuries ago, and it's the same for people who will live centuries from now. There's no new revelation. Jesus Christ is the final revelation from God the Father. So we're not waiting on more information to be given to us. God the Father spoke through God the Son. And then God the Son, working through the power of God the Holy Spirit, empowered the apostles to write down everything that needed to be said. And now the scriptures are silent. This will throw you for a loop. The scriptures do not reveal God's will for you. The scriptures reveal God's will for us. What the scriptures say to Monica is the same thing that says to Toby. What the scriptures say to Graham is the same thing that the scriptures say to Scott. The scriptures were written for all of us because we all need everything that is in the scriptures. But the question does arise, how can we know that the scriptures are really, in fact, the Word of God? You know, that's a very good question. It is a legitimate question because the Bible is not the only book that claims to be the Word of God. And just because someone claims to have written the words of God, that doesn't mean that what they wrote was in fact the words of God. The false prophets there in Galatia claim that Paul was a false prophet. But Paul says no. What I have written to you, I learned from revelation from Jesus Christ. And this is the question that we must deal with. Does the Bible really have divine authorship? Or is it the authorship of mere men? How can we know that the gospel is in fact the Word of God? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of things to help you think about whether the Bible is the Word of God. First thing, let me ask you. If the scriptures are not the Word of God, then who wrote them? If God did not empower through the Holy Spirit the apostles and the prophets to write the Bible, then who wrote the Bible? Maybe bad men wrote the Bible. No, Bad men could not have written the Bible because bad men would not be employed in writing such holy things. Would evil men, would bad men speak so boldly about a holy God? A God who is to be worshipped and obeyed? Sigmund Freud says that because people were afraid of nature, because they couldn't control the hurricane and the tornado and the earthquake, because they were scared of nature, therefore they created gods. Gods whom then they, who man could control, and therefore control the things of nature. Well, that may be true about other religions, but Christianity is about a God that is more awesome and terrifying than nature itself. If the Bible was written by men because of their fear of the volcano and the earthquake, why would they create a God who was more fearsome, more terrifying than the volcano and the earthquake? Karl Marx. We hear a lot about Karl Marx today. The Black Lives Matter movement is a Marxist political movement that's all over the TV. Karl Marx said that religion was the opiate of the masses. He said that religion, and especially Christianity, were fabrications of the ruling class in order to keep the other classes, the lower classes, suppressed. According to Marx, the poor worker is told by the religious rulers that poverty is a virtue and that you are to look forward to your reward in the sweet by and by. So while the poor worker looks for his reward in heaven, the ruling class just gets richer and richer at the expense of the working class. All right, let's think about that. If evil and wealthy rulers wrote the Bible, why would they then write and condemn the very practice that they are doing? Why would they condemn the practice of exploitation and selfishness? And why would they tell their readers then to resist and to rebel against such sinful activity? Why would they create a holy God, a just God, that hears the cries of the poor and brings judgment upon the greedy? And why would they write about the faithful servants of God that in their day were the richest men on earth? Abraham, Jacob, Job, Solomon. They were the ruling class in their day. They were the most wealthy men of their day. So you see, bad men could not have written the Bible because it would just be illogical for them to write it. Well, maybe good men wrote the Bible. Well, I don't know about that either. See, good men could not be the author of the scriptures because good and righteous men would never dare to write down their own ideas and then say, "Thus saith the Lord." Think how guilty you feel when you sin. Think about that guilt, that feeling of guilt. Would you be willing to write down something and then pass it on to your family and your children and the next generation and the next generation and claim that it is God's word when you knew good and well that it was just yours? No, you see, even good men could not have written the Bible because they would have come under conviction knowing that what they are writing is just their words and not the words of God. Monica and I, we were having this discussion this morning. Well, maybe the angels can be the authors of Scripture. No. Why is it that the angels couldn't be the authors of Scripture? Well, the Apostle Peter says that the angels search intensely into the gospel mysteries of salvation by grace, that they may understand the workings of God. In other words, what the Apostle Peter is saying is that angels could not write about the grace of God because the angels have never experienced the grace of God. We are the ones who have experienced the grace of God, not the angels. And the picture that we are given is that the angels look at you and look at the church and look at Jesus Christ and they just kind of scratch their heads in wonderment. They are perfect beings. We are imperfect beings. They are righteous and holy. We are unrighteous. Yet God bestows His love and grace upon us. And it's to the angels, it's like, man, oh man, this is wonderful, but I can't grasp it. I can't understand it. They can't grasp it. They can't understand it because they are not the recipients of it. Well, maybe the Scriptures appear to be the Word of God, or the Scriptures do appear to be the Word of God because of what's contained in them. You see, the mystery of the gospel is so profound that no man, no angel could have known it except it had been given by revelation from God Himself. Paul says that the gospel is not something that is man-made, but that it is the revelation of God. Think about this. Think about this. That the one who has no beginning, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, the one who is the Ancient of Days, is born of a woman. That he who thunders in the heavens will cry in the manger. He who spoke and the stars and all the galaxies were created, and he who holds the galaxies in place nurses from the breast of a woman. That the Prince of Life will die. That the Lord of Glory will be put to shame. That sin will be punished to the fullest, yet pardoned to the fullest. Who could ever have conceived such a mystery had not the Scriptures revealed those things and had not God Himself empowered holy men to write the Scriptures? Who would have ever known that salvation was a gift from God and not dependent upon your obedience? Who would have thought that the same body that is going to be crushed and decayed into 1,000 pieces will be raised a glorious body without any sin? How could such a sacred riddle be known unless God Himself wrote it down? The Scriptures show us that they are the Word of God by the impartiality of the people who wrote it. You and I were sitting down and talking, and I say, "Bob, tell me what you did today. Bob, tell me everything you did today." Well, Bob says, "Okay, well, for breakfast I had da-da-da-da-da, and then I got up and I went to work, and after work I ran these errands, and then Gene and I, we went out to dinner, and she ordered this from the menu, and I ordered this, and then we watched a little TV, and then we went to bed." I said, "Bob, tell me everything you did today." "Well, I told you." I said, "No, you didn't. You didn't tell me how you sinned today." We don't want people to know what we really are. We don't want people to know what we really think. But Moses, he records his own sin when he struck the rock, and then he tells us that it is because of his sin that he was not allowed to go into the promised land. King David relates his sin of adultery and then murder, which then stands as a curse to the following generations. Peter talks about his cowardliness in denying Jesus. Jonah the prophet talks about his own sin of self-righteousness. The apostle Paul tells us that he was a murderer of Christians. You see, surely if the pen of these men had not been guided by the Holy Spirit, they would never have revealed such things to us about themselves. The writers of the Bible tell us what they really are. They want us to know that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. They want us to know for sure that it was not by their might, by their wealth, by their wisdom, by their strength, but only through the Spirit of the Holy God that they lived the life that they did and that they wrote the things that they wrote. They do not boast in themselves, but they boast in the Lord. They take away all glory from themselves, and they give it to Jesus Christ. They reveal their shame that you may know the mercy of God. And my friend, only someone who is empowered by the Holy Spirit would write that for your benefit. We can know that the Bible is the Word of God by the power and the effect that it has upon our lives. It changes hearts from stone to putty. It has brought the dead back to life. Some, by reading the Scriptures, like Clark Kent, jumps into the phone booth and becomes Superman. Some, by reading the Scriptures, have become supermen. As a matter of fact, that's what Paul says in Romans 8, that we are more than conquerors in Christ. The word there is uperman. which means supermen. We are more than supermen because of Christ Jesus. Paul was once a destroyer of the church, but then when he was confronted with the Word of God, he becomes a builder of the church. Paul writes to the Thessalonians and he says, "You accepted the gospel not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. For you became the imitators of God." See how the word of God changed them. And Paul uses this evidence in verse 13 of that passage. For he says, For you have heard of my previous life, how I intensely persecuted the church and tried to destroy it. The scriptures tell us about the Samaritan woman who had a reputation of being an adulteress. But when she heard the word of God, she became a faithful witness of the truth. The man who was possessed by thousands of demons, he was so out of his mind that even the ropes and chains could not contain him. But when the word of God came to him, the scriptures say he sat quietly. You see, by reading other books, your heart may be warmed. But by reading the Bible, the heart is transformed. Paul writes to the Romans and he says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind," meaning having the Word of God live in you. "Then you will be able to test and approve God's perfect will for you." Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, "You show yourselves to be the letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of God on the tablets of the human heart." These words from Genesis to Revelation then become copied, spiritually copied upon our heart, where we desire then to obey God, to love Him, and to love one another. The Word of God changes hearts. And I know we're running out of time, but let me just say that lastly, we can see the evidence for the Scriptures being the inspired Word of God simply by investigating the Bible as we would any other claim to be true. There were many historians in the days of Jesus and in the years after Jesus. Roman historians, Jewish historians, and they were not prejudiced in favor of the Christian religion. As a matter of fact, they were prejudiced against the Christian religion. Yet many of them write about this man named Jesus, who was called Christ, that he was arrested by the Jewish authorities and handed over to Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, and he died, and he was buried. And now they say he is risen from the dead. These are historians, not Christian people, but anti-Christian people, writing these things, which tells us that Jesus was a historical person. There's no question that Jesus is a historical person. When we read the Apostles' Creed and we talk, say the phrase that he was handed over to Pontius Pilate, see, that puts it in a historical context. That's why that portion is in the Apostles' Creed. It puts it into a historical context that then we can go back and check from the files of history. And any historian that's worth their weight in academia, they don't deny that Jesus existed, and they don't deny who arrested him and why he was put to death, and that the rumors are that he was raised from the dead. Oh, my friend, who are we? Who are we that the eternal God, the God who has created all things and who sustains all things by the power of His Word, who are we that this God would want to speak to us? But He does. He speaks to us through the written Word. When Moses went to the mountaintop to receive the commandments, he and all of Israel trembled with fear because of the lightning and the smoke and the earthquake. And the people said to Moses, "Go and talk to the Lord and tell him, don't talk to us directly anymore. Send someone to talk to us." And the scriptures say that God said, "That's a good idea." Friend, here it is. You can approach the throne of grace with boldness because of this book. You don't have to deal with the thunder and the lightning and the earthquakes. You can hear God speaking to you through the pages of Scripture without experiencing the terrifying things that Israel and Moses experienced. It was so bad that even Moses said, "I can't stand it." But who are we? Who are we in our sinfulness and our hard-heartedness? Who are we that God would be so gracious to us that He would speak to us in His Word and that we can approach Him in His Word without fearing for our life? God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Great peace will be upon those who daily feed from God's Word. It is God-breathed. You can't speak when you're inhaling. You try it. You can't speak when you're inhaling. You can only speak when your breath is going out. The Scriptures are God-breathed. God speaking to you. God speaking to you for your benefit. Oh Lord Jesus, give us ears to hear when you speak. Let us pray.